Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, but you know what? That sounds like a pretty good music for a workout video. Anyway, welcome everybody to In the Studio with Linus on the Essence of Success Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Well, you know, for the month of August, we've been doing a special. I have my co-host, Tina, come on in from the East Coast.
Hi, how are you guys?
So what we're doing is all month, it's LNT, Linus and Tina, Sex Chronicles 101. Today we're discussing, we're at part four, so we're discussing prayer and sex. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. If you have an opinion or comment, please call in at 646-727-2914. Me and Tina will bring you right in. So for the month of August, we've already covered preparation. We discussed worthiness, chemistry, sacrifice. So today we're talking about prayer and sex. Now, next Wednesday's show, I'm going to tell y'all right now, you don't want to miss it, because it's about, does size matter? Yep, you heard me. That's what I said. Does size matter? So pick up the phone, call 642-727-2914 next Wednesday. Today, just call in for prayer and sex. So, but I know you're going to have something to say. So tune in and join the show with your opinions and suggestions. We will be doing the show with humor, so be prepared for anything. If you don't want to talk on the phone or you have something to say, you can reach Tina and I at the network on Facebook, the Essence of Success Radio Network on Facebook. And, you know, just send us a message and we'll be more than happy to respond. If you want to know further about me as a host or what I do have a website, www.theessenceofsuccess.com. I come on Sundays with psychic readings at 3 o'clock, come back Wednesday, me and Tina. And during the week, I'm on another network, Tuesday and Thursday, speaker.com with music. So please join us. Just pull it up on Blog Talk Radio or either go to my website and you'll find out what I'm doing. And Miss Nina, who's normally on, we're giving her a break today. Miss Nina is a Reiki master, a teacher, and also a psychic, and she normally works the chat room. Also, Miss Nina is the Essence of Success Radio Network. So, but we're giving her a break today. She's been with the chillings, y'all, out there in that hot sun. And so is Miss Tina, I ain't gonna lie. So anyway, but we're gonna get to it. Yes, ma'am.
I'm interrupting for just a second. The chat room is open, so if they have any questions, I will pass them on to you via the chat room.
Okay. Okay, I know you're exhausted, but okay. Well, thank you. We appreciate
you. You're very welcome.
We appreciate. Okay, so we're going to begin the show. This is a little comedy part, but we know that, you know, prayer and sex is serious. This is from Mrs. Kathy Schiffer. Now, this is what she said. When I was a child, I once heard my mother talking with a friend about sex, not the oh my gosh kind of sex talk. You see, the woman and her husband were very devout, and her complaint was that after they had sexual relations, he would pop up, kneel beside the bed, and pray every time. I don't know whether he intended it to be a prayer for forgiveness, but that's how she took it. She felt, rightly or wrong, that her husband considered sex to be a necessary evil, a means of conceiving children, and a subject for the confessional. Years later, an adult with a better understanding of marital love and human relationships, I've sometimes chuckled about the story. I'm guessing their communications was less than open, and the evenings in their nuptial bed were chaste and unremarkable. So, anyway, it is sure to make headlines, through one selection in particular, their prayer before making love. I imagine busy mothers tucking their children into bed, heading back to the living room where hubby has opened a new bottle of wine, giving him that come hither look, and pulling out the old prayer book. Or a loving husband wanting to signal that he's really like a back rub about now. Who knows where it'll come from there, where it'll go from there. Let's just open up the prayer book and see. Now, there is a prayer book for spouses. I was discussing this with Tina earlier, and I'm going to tell you the prayer book is called Good Sex. Well, not just for spouses, it's for men, period. So let me just put it like that. We're talking about couples, but let me just put it like that. For men, period, it's called Good Sex, Great Prayers. Good Sex, Great Prayers by Brandon. His last name is Tiez, I guess. It's capital T-I-E-T-Z. Good Sex, Great Prayers by Brandon Tiez. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Now, here's one example of a prayer before making love. Father, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Place within us love that truly gives, tenderness that truly unites, self-offering that tells the truth and does not deceive, forgiveness that truly receives, loving physical union that welcomes. Open our hearts to you, to each other, and to the goodness of your will. Cover your poverty in the richness of your mercy and forgiveness. Clothe us in our true dignity and take to yourself our shared aspirations for your glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Now let me go to my co-host, Miss Tina. Any comments?
I am just like blown away because, again, I'm sorry, I was at the zoo all day, but I'm going pep up.
Yeah, that's all right.
This is so ironic because I've done this all my life. It's like I just came to this room with like a really, I just have an awareness of God, a reverence for God, and I've done this because I was raised as a Muslim, and being raised as a Muslim, I just, you know, I'm just always conscious of prayer. So I did that. One time I was dating a guy in college, and we were fornicating. Yes, I said fornicating. We were fornicating probably like 3-something in the morning. So if the prayer came in, like, maybe like at 4:17, I stopped. I estimated it. So I stopped fornicating probably like at 3:45, gave myself a chance to get in the shower, make the voodoo, because, you know, you have to go through the whole
ritual.
Yes, I had to go through the ritual. And I did the whole thing, and then I put on my overgarment, and I made my prayer. And then after I finished, I went back. And I think that this is just, like, amazing because you and I don't even talk before we do the show. We just come together.
Yeah.
And I did that, and it was like a reverence, and the guy like respected it, like, okay, look, you coming back? Like, he stopped, like, hey, guy, you know, I'm scared, yeah, you know. Like, hey, I ain't going to stop her, you know, I like what she was doing, but I ain't going to stop her now, you know, because we trying to be here.
Yeah, we. I ain't messing with you, God.
Yeah, I ain't messing with you, God, now.
But, you know, can you bring the punani back? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. like he watched me do it all, and it's ironic because then after I finished, I, you know, said the last part, and then I went back to doing what I was doing. And then also with the gentleman that I just was with for like 11 years, when I would go down on him, like, I don't know why, I would say a prayer. Like, I would be praying. And he's so funny, like, you know, when we would break off and I wouldn't talk to him, or even when, you know, he wanted me to, he'd be like, can I come over so you could pray on me? I was like, get out of here.
Oh.
I was like, that's terrible. He was saying right now, could you pray on me? But I want to say that is because, I guess, you know, I know that we're spiritual beings having a oh God, having a human experience. Mm-hmm. So it's like your soul. I don't even know that gentleman. That's the first time I heard you say that. And it's true, because people really don't have the awareness that sex is a spiritual experience. And, you know, God gave us free will, but sex is really supposed to be to co-create. And when the reason that everyone likes that feeling is because when you get together with someone, you experience God. That's why people say, oh, God, during the sessions and things like that, because it's just something that you can't explain. And we have devalued it, but it's really a sexual, it's really a very heightened experience, and it's really an honor for two people to come together and allow them to experience the God within one another. So I'm just, like, blown away, like, yes, I do that. And that's why I go and I'm abstinent for quite long periods of time, because I don't really think that I should be playing around with that.
Yeah.
As funny as I am, as outspoken as I am, certain things you just don't do, but I think God just gave us a certain awareness.
Yeah,
so,
but I think God did put us down here to enjoy our bodies, too.
Yeah.
I do believe that. I mean, I know they have the priesthood and different things where they remain celibate and the monks, but I believe that God didn't put us down here to be celibate. He put us down here to enjoy our bodies, but to be responsible with that. You know, God didn't say you can't have sex, have all the sex you want. Just accept the responsibility that comes with that. Right?
Well, I don't think that people are responsible with it. I don't think that everyone is responsible.
Some are.
With it.
Some people are. You know, we. I don't want to pigeonhole everybody or be generic, but some people are responsible. Responsible, excuse me. Yeah.
I know, but I'm saying some people aren't responsible with it, because when you go to a deeper level, it's like when you have sex with someone, you become, that's like your husband or wife in the spirit. That's why you think about them. That's why you, you know, desire them. And that's why we have such... it leads to a lot of confusion. You know, some people play around like, hey, you know, I like her. Let me just go have sex with her. And then they don't want to be bothered anymore. And then that woman still feels connected. Like, some of us really only just want to be with one person. You know, it's like it's some of us is really that serious of a connection. So I'm just saying, and because it says that in the Bible, it says that, like, if two people get married and they never have sex, then they really don't consider it consummated because they never became one. When you have sex with someone, you know that person, and that is a reference that is used in the Bible. It'll say, and he knew her. It said that about Adam and Eve, and he knew her, and a son was conceived. So to come, and then that's what I'm saying, once it's over, you know, with some women, you have some women who it has affected them for the rest of their lives. Just their consciousness, they're like, you know what, I really don't want to do it anymore. So,
Stop right there. Let me say something. That is very good, what you just said. A bit of explanation on the reasons for a prayer. First, we misuse our sexuality through sin. We give Satan an open door to oppress us in our sexuality. I'm not going to say Satan. I'll just say the negativity, an open door to oppress us in our sexuality. A man who uses pornography will find himself in a deep struggle with lust. A woman who was sexually promiscuous before marriage may find herself wrestling with sexual temptation years afterward. So it is important to bring our sexuality under the lordship and therefore protection of God and seeking his cleansing of our sexual sins. Second, sexual brokenness. This is where Tina just said, I'm coming in behind that now. Whether through abuse of our sexuality by our own action or by actions of others, can create sexual difficulties and also open the door for the enemy to oppress us. Quite often, forgiveness is needed. Both the confidence that we are forgiven by God and the choice we make to forgive others. This will prove immensely freeing. Now, go ahead.
Again, that's what I'm talking about, because when people become one, if someone, a good guy friend of ours, like my best guy friend, and I had this conversation last night, he was talking about a woman who was molested when she was younger. So it was brought up, you know, during the course of their conversation, their relationship. And he said that he had taken her out to dinner when they first started talking, like 10 days after meeting each other. Not to dinner, but he wanted to set up something really nice for their birthday. And he said that he took her to the hotel, and he wanted to just hold her, and, you know, he just wanted to have, like, a really romantic environment. He said that when he left and came back, the woman was, like, laying down naked, and he was like, he said, now this is from a man's point of view, he said she had ruined it. Mm. He said she had ruined it for him because he wanted to show her love.
Mm.
And he was like, I really didn't want to know that much about her.
Right then. Mm-hmm.
Right then. He said he had the roses or whatever. I forgot exactly what was in the room, but it was romantic. And he said he was like, oh, I really didn't want to do this the first night. Like, I wanted to show you. And he said that it was awkward. I don't know if they did have sex. I'm quite sure they did. But he, from a male point of view, he told me that that left a sour taste in his mouth and that later on they had issues with that because she had been violated. And what I want to say is that sometimes when women have gone through things like that, even if they have been violated, if they never addressed it, then in future situations, they violate themselves voluntarily. Because that's what they're used to, and they never addressed it. And some sexuality, I really appreciate you having this show, Linus, and this series, because this is something that some people never discuss. You know, it's a very, it's like a vulnerable area. We cover it up between work and taking care of ourselves and paying bills. But it comes up when you meet someone, and for some reason, when we meet someone, that is like when the vulnerabilities comes up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just brings up things, you know, and we're like, oh, you got to go to work and then come home and deal with it. But he and I discussed that last night, and he was like, you know, she really, he felt a certain way and she felt a certain type of way about it. But, and what you were saying about, what I also wanted to say is like sometimes when women are strippers and things like that, sometimes they have been molested. And since sex is spiritual, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, when that person violated that person that was molested, sometimes that sexual demon is passed on to that person.
Yeah.
So it was a sex is spiritual. So even though we talked about it through a prayer, when two people get together, even in that you know, situation where they're being wrong, when they pass on that sexual demon, then that's when the person keeps doing it and keeps doing it. And then that's why some prostitutes have a high rate of depression and drug use, because it's like they become numb. They become numb, and, you know, they just, it's like they're drawn to it. Remember that was a subject that was brought up in the movie Temptation?
Mm-hmm.
Remember she was successful and had the husband, but the husband wouldn't get freaky with her, and she just had to go get it out with those three men, and finally after counseling, she realized she had been raped by those boys when she was a little, like 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like she had the tingling for feeling because it was a sensation that had been brought up, so. I think thinking back to what we were just saying that sometimes people are violated. Is that what we're saying?
Excuse me, yes. Well, here, let's just do this quick prayer,
okay.
Bringing our lives and sexuality under God. Excuse me. This is not my prayer now. This is a prayer from another lady, but I'll say her prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess here now that you are my creator, John 1:3, and therefore the creator of my sexuality. I confess that you also, my Savior, that you have ransomed me with your blood, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 3rd verse, Matthew 20, chapter 28th verse. I have been brought with the blood of Jesus Christ. My love, my life, and my body belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 19th verse and 20th. Jesus, I present myself to you now to be made whole and holy in every way, including in my sexuality. You asked us to present our bodies to you as living sacrifices, Romans 12, chapter 1st verse, and the parts of our bodies as instruments of righteousness, Romans 6, chapter 13th verse. I do this now. I present my body, my sexuality as a man or as a woman, and I present my sexual nature to you. I am, now I'm saying this, I am that I am. I just feel like starting that, but anyway, okay, one more and then we're going to get back into another discussion.
Okay.
And I don't know why I didn't start this. I'm sorry. I am that I am. Next, you need to renounce the ways you have misused your sexuality. The more specific you can be, the more helpful this will be, which Tina just told y'all. Listen now, your sexuality was created by God for pleasure and joy within the context of a marriage covenant. Sexuality, I kind of disagree with that. Sexual activity outside of marriage can be very damaging to a person in the relationship. I disagree with that. But anyway, it's 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 18 to the 20th verse. What you want to do in this part of the prayer is confess and renounce all sexual sin. Well, I disagree because I disagree with what they call sin. For example, sexual intimacy outside of marriage, not only intercourse, but other forms of sexual intimacy, such as mutual masturbation or oral sex. Many people assume these don't really count as sin. Okay, I'm disagreeing with you, lady, because I don't consider that a sin, because they didn't result in actual intercourse. However, there was sexual stimulation and intimacy outside of marriage. And I don't think you have to be married to be in a relationship or enjoy a relationship. Keep in mind, there is the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. What matters are issues of heart and mind as well as body. Other examples to renounce would be extramarital affairs, the use of pornography, and sexual fantasies. You may know exactly what you need to confess and renounce. You may need to ask God's help to remember. I think this woman must be a Catholic. Take your time here. As memories and events come to mind, confess and renounce them. For example, Lord Jesus, I ask you forgiveness for my sins of masturbation and using pornography. I renounce those sins in your name. After you have confessed your sins, and don't get tied up trying to remember each and every one, just trust God to remember you. Then go with the rest of the prayer. Okay, I disagree, because it's better not to be married if you're not ready to settle down and still enjoy a relationship. Like I said, God didn't just put us here to procreate. God put us here to enjoy this vessel, this temple that he gave us to live in, and to be responsible with it. So it doesn't matter. I mean, and then let me just say this, because I don't be confusing. There's some people out there that are trying to come to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, so I don't want to confuse you, do that. It's just my belief and my understanding is probably a little bit different than mainstream. I'll put it like that. And even Tina may have a different view about some things. Because she was raised Muslim, she knows the Christian ways too, that she might look at things a little bit different. So that's to me. So that's why I said, to me, that's not a sin. It's a sin if you're married and you do things. But before you get married, yes, you should use, that's what our bodies are here for. You should enjoy your body and enjoy a relationship. Because if you get married and do it, then I guess you're wrong. But what you do before a marriage is wrong? No. I think before a marriage is good, so you don't make that mistake when you get married. You have done what you needed to do to get it out of your mental, spiritual, and physical being. Miss Tina?
That was a lot. Let me slice this pie. Let me pick up these pieces of pie, because I was, you know, slicing that piece. I'm going to talk about that. Let me slice that piece. I'm going to talk about that. Now, I can look at it. I think I've forgiven us a dichotomous personality, because I can see it from both sides.
Okay.
And most of my life, like, I'm single now, and I want to say that I have been guilty of trying to play God. Sex is a very, like, it's a very pleasurable experience. It's a heightened experience. I mean, it is just beautiful. And I believe that I am single now because I think that I have been disobedient to the laws of God. And the reason I say that is because certain things I didn't know, certain things my parents really didn't teach me. You know, my mom just raised me as a Muslim, and, like, it was just us. Her and my dad weren't married, and my dad was a doctor, and my mom just, you know, took care of us and stayed home. And I'm really thankful for that. Like, she taught me to be respectful and to enjoy my own company and to love God. But what I do want to say is that I never really took the time out to work out my issues. I didn't really understand that I was energy. I was upset at my dad for a very long time for, you know, just certain things. And I didn't understand that I was attracting certain things in my life. I've never had a problem with women, but I would be angry at men sometimes because of my dad. And as a result, it affected me in my relationships. I had two long-term relationships, which resulted in children. And what I wanted to say was I didn't really make the right decision. My dad was busy, and I consider him to be a powerful man. He was very intelligent and made a lot of money. He was a doctor. So that was something that was in my mind, like, yes, I, you know, want a powerful man or somebody that's intelligent. But I was like, I want somebody that's just going to spend time with me. I said all that to say that in my relationships, I dealt with I kind of attracted men that weren't really faithful. They were, you know, sexually satisfying, but they had their own issues going on. like during the course of the relationships when our dysfunction was going on, they're like, you know what, let's get married. When I wanted to leave and, you know, didn't want to be with them, they're like, let's get married. But what I want to say is that it was, I went about it the wrong way. Now, I was saying I see two parts of it. Now, what you were saying is that if you really, you know, we have to experience. Now, for men and women, I think it's different. You know, there's different, like, requirements for us. Men can have different sexual conquests, you know, because that's all right for them. But with women, we really can't do that. You know, we have the hymen. You know, our vagina is a muscle. So we can't be having four different penises during the week. You know, like, the vagina be struggling. Like, wait, hold on, there was a little one on Tuesday, a big one on Wednesday. Now we back to a little one on Thursday. And my dad is a gynecologist, and he taught me that. The vagina is a muscle, and muscle has memory. And he was saying that after a while, if it goes like that, he said, then that's when women lose their elasticity, because it's like that's too much. So what I wanted to say is, from men and women having different things that are okay with society, a man can have more than one woman, but it's not good for a woman to do that. So with us, sometimes I would say that it's good for a woman to date without being intimate, because once a woman becomes intimate, a woman that is whole, that knows who she is, and that knows her higher self, which when we have sex with somebody, I consider that, look, we married. Look, as soon as I put my panties down, you done signed the contract. So We not playing those games. Like, I don't even know what you thinking about. So, you know, it's a difference. So for men, you know, they might be like, hey, you know, I like her, I'm spending time with her, hey, I want to find out how she is. But with women, we get confused, because it's like, okay, and then a real woman is like, you know what, I'm not going to, you know, we're caring. So, you know, we're like thinking about the guy, thinking about his needs. And we, you know, we're catering to him like that. So that's where confusion comes in, and that's where hurt comes in, and that's where fornication could come in, and that's where single mother could come in, and that's where children being hurt could come in, because the man is like, I really don't even like her. I really don't even know her. And then he could go on with his life, and as a result, anytime that we become pregnant, anytime that we have sex, we could become pregnant, and then that's how children come up, and that's how certain situations come up, because we played with something that we really weren't supposed to. Or you can be intimate with somebody and not really like them outside of the bedroom.
Okay, let me read a poem. Stop right there. This poem
Thank
is called
you.
Marriage. No limits or true vows. Marriage is an institution, so we say aloud. For a woman, it guarantees her survival and support. For a man, the availability of sex and companionship. Now we have a contract of social convention. Nothing has been invented. I want this and that. You want your hat. Who you are is love. Well, now you've given up the very nature of you, of your being, in trade for security. This is our duty. Okay, and that was from the book Are You Ready by Lennis Boyd, her poem book. Anyway.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, because what you were saying, I wanted to piggyback behind that with that poem. But it's true. That's why I said the marriage, you know, you should enjoy your body. But I do also want to say, too, that for people not to get stuck, when things happen in your life, try and reflect why you have this feeling about sex, or why do you feel this way about men, than to keep going on and on and on the same way. And I'll give you an example. When I got married, the only reason I married a black man was because I knew I could not go in my parents' house with a white guy. But who did I date while I was in junior high and high school? White guys. Why? I don't know. But in my mind, it was like, I don't want to be bothered with a black man. Well, it was because when I was much younger, way younger, I was assaulted by some cousins who were black. So for whatever reason, my mind shut down about that aspect. But my mind told me, I can't be with a black man, just a white man.
Wow.
So, but that, because of that sexual experience, being young, inexperienced, and unknown, that my mind didn't know how to capitulate it, to get it together, that it just shut down and said, oh, I only like white guys. But then when I met Sherman, it was like, well, my mom was a stone racist out of Louisiana Shreveport, so she didn't play. when I met Sherman, I said, well, I guess it'll have to be him, because I sure can't go in that house with a white guy. Now, y'all knowing, if you ever saw my father, he looked mulatto, but he was Jewish and black, so anyway. But I'm just getting back to the root of the problem. It's something that has happened to you when you're young, whether it's sexual, verbal abuse or assault or, you know, people putting you down. You will carry that over in your adult, just like Tina is saying. But you're going to have to learn to forgive yourself, forgive that person, and differentiate, which, you know, prayers, and differentiate that happened then. This is where you are now. Now, what is it about you that you don't like sexually? If it's your body, why? You can say you're big as a house, all your rooms are in order. But why do you feel that big? Usually women that are over, that are really heavy or obese, it's because they're hurting. And food has become their best friend, their BFF.
Wow.
So think about that. And a person that's real thin, that, you know, we say, like, God, how can I, are they anorexic? Why don't they lose weight? Because for them, thin is the answer. If they be big, people will mess with them. So a heavyset woman, that is her defense when she becomes obese or big. So when I see women like that, you know, they got that show, My 600-Pound Life or whatever, that person is hurting. You know, you look at them from the back and it's like, oh, yeah, they look like Sasquatch or whatever. No, they may look big, but that person is hurting. That's why they're eating like that. They know damn well they're not hungry. They're eating to pacify a missing emotion or void within them. Same with sex. You know, some women, I was telling Tina, a lady I work with had two kids, beautiful sons. Good looking. Husband was a minister. She had never had a climax, and she was 40 years old.
Wow.
Now, at first, I wanted to be flippant, and I didn't want to believe that. Because I'm like, you've been married 20 years. You got two boys that are teenagers. What the hell, you know? But she said she didn't know what an orgasm was. She went on the internet and joined a couple of groups of women that do not orgasm or can't or have a problem. And, of course, today her and her husband, I mean, it's so good. Her husband bought her a brand new dining room set, but we'll leave that alone. So anyway, but, you know, here this woman had been married for years, y'all, had two children, a husband that was successful and a minister and had never known the fulfillment of her body. Go ahead, Tina.
Well, I believe that happens because that's a reflection of the people that were around her. Sometimes parents don't discuss sex. You know, that's why this show is really needed, because people don't discuss that, and it doesn't have to be fresh. You have some people who feel guilty, or, you know, they feel like, you know, it sex is something that is very important, and what happens is that is something that's very serious, because that's showing that somebody really didn't take their time with her. Like, that person didn't really know, and then she didn't know, and they came together, and it could have been like they're selfish. Like, that's a selfishness just to go into the act and just do things just to make sure that you're
satisfying the other person.
But the person is just making sure that they're satisfying themselves. Yeah, that's deep.
Well, both and ways. Men and women. Go ahead.
And I just wanted to say on the, if anyone watches The Haves and Have Nots by Tyler Perry, he just addressed that issue last night. There's a main character, Candace. Do you watch that show, Lena? Well, you need to get your life together. But anyway, that show last night was so good because Candace is this villain, and Candace is she's a beautiful dark-skinned woman, and she's like an escort. She's an escort in the show, but it's showing wealthy people as opposed to Candace's life growing up in an urban environment. And Candace is this ruthless, kick-butt, She is blackmailing the governor and just took $7 million from him and just a mess. So anyway, she just met this millionaire, and the show shows that she's an escort, a very high class. It's nothing, you know, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the man told her last night, and she has issues going on. She has this abusive child's father that just was, he was incarcerated, and they let him out. But anyway, make a long story short, she, like I said, she she has the $7 million, so she's staying in this wealthy place, and she ended up meeting this gentleman. And the man has his own private plane, and the man is treating her with love. And she was like, oh, like she felt uncomfortable. She wanted that for herself, and she told him that I don't feel comfortable when I go to the urban environment, and I don't really feel comfortable when I'm with the wealthy people. And he took her on a, he flew her out of town. He took her on a horse ride, and last night they showed that they were in a hotel. They had been intimate once, but the first conversation, they were both vulnerable. She was like, I don't know what love is, I'm incapable of feeling. And she was like, she told him all the things that was going on. Somebody took her son, and she was like, that is me. If you want to deal with me, fine. He told her, I was a terrible husband. I just wanted money. My wife passed away. I wasn't really there when she passed away. And he was like, I've used women. I have access to women, and I have money. And he was like, I just always wanted. He was like, but that's me. He was like, and after I have sex with you, I may leave and never see you again. And it's like they were both so honest with each other that it's showing a vulnerableness. But last night, I said, I like to say that last night that they were laying down in the bed, and she's like, well, you want to have sex? And he said, no, I just want to hold you. He said, I just want you to lay your head on my chest. And she was like, what, you don't want to have sex? So then she did what people do when they feel rejected. She was like, well, if you don't want to have sex with me, I'll go to somebody else. He said, no, I want to love you. And he said to her, when is the last time you laid down with a man? Do you know, she said, never.
Ooh.
He said, when is the last time?
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. He said, when is the last time? He said, when is the last time that a man just held you? And she said, well, I was, molested when she was 5, and she said she never knew who her father was. And he said, well, when did the man hold you? You know, she said, never, and he let her cry. He just said, he said, put the weight of the world on my chest. He said, let me take the weight for you. And they showed her laying on his chest crying.
Oh, my God, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. So I just wanted to, let you know that, you know, so.
No, that's good. Keep going. That's good.
Yeah, so, again, in that show, I really appreciate Tyler Perry showing that, because even with myself, I mean, you know, it's like now at this age, I'm finally finding out who I am. I'm taking time to be quiet because I grew up in a house with 6 brothers and sisters. And then I went straight to college at 17. So I always lived with somebody. I never had a chance to really find out who I am. You know, I always had people looking at me in the room like, damn, could they go somewhere? So, and then, you know, and then in your 20s, you're beautiful, so people are coming to you. And then I ended up dating my daughter's father and lived with him. And now that my children are older, I just want to be quiet right now. And I can honestly say that I just want to take time to get to know me. And now I feel better. I'm thinking better. Some people say you fail your way through. I can look back and I can honestly see what I was thinking, because I believe your thoughts create your reality. And I know now that I created the experiences that I had. And I'm hoping that someone that's listening to this can take that. Don't just listen to empower you being a victim. Listen so that you can be a better person, because this is your life. When you come to this realm, God gives us choices. You may not be able to pick your parents. You may not be able to pick where you live. You may not even control the things, or so you think, that happened to you when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get older and you have a responsibility, you feel your way through your experiences. And what I even learned in physics is that everything is energy. Just like when I was angry, I attracted angry situations, and I had situations that manifested that. And now that I'm peaceful, it's like my life has done a 360. And I'm so grateful for that, because love is a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Yes,
and us having this is a form of healing, because I know that you can learn from something that we're saying. It's something, even if it's not for you, you can talk to a young woman who may be going through this, mm-hmm. or, you know, who may not know, because, again, that's a subject that's taboo. My mother never talked to me about sex.
Me
like,
either.
I learned about my girlfriend, my girlfriend Dana, we were biology majors, and one day she said, did you ever go down on a man? And I said, no. I'm just saying, for that's friends. I just loved her. We were talking. We were doing homework or something and talking. And she said, well, it's just skin. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Dick is skin. Like, I mean, but why did I need her to tell me that? Like, that's the power of friends. And now I was like, well, maybe I'll go home and suck my boyfriend's dick. Like, I had never thought about that. like, let me go on a dick tour, you know. I'm like, yeah, dick is nice. It is skin. I mean, but why? But we were intelligent, so she had to say it's just skin. but I'm saying you should. I know that when people become parents, you have to. Sometimes you aren't able to fully finish developing a relationship with yourself before you become a parent. But it's imperative to talk to your children about things like this, because this way.
In today's world, oh Lord, yes.
Yeah. And then if you don't know how to masturbate, now we can get, that's something I wanted to touch upon too. With masturbation, they're saying that masturbation is a form of sin because God wants us to control ourselves so that he can bring the mate for us.
No. You can masturbate as much as you want. No, I don't believe that. How are you going to tell the man what turns you on if you don't masturbate?
Well, some people probably feel guilty about it.
Well, yeah, because that's how they were brought up. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, sometimes you feel guilty about it, and it's according to, just like you said, the beautiful soul that you said that never had an orgasm, they don't really know. Obviously, she feels guilty also. For her to say that and for it to be a group, they really feel guilty.
Yeah.
Because I masturbate. I've been abstinent for 2 years, and it done saved me from plenty of dicks. Hello?
Are you on rebate?
Masturbate, save yourself, girl. Masturbation will keep you from screwing the wrong one.
Mm.
And I love, remember they touched upon that in Mary Jane, when she almost got back with the ex and she masturbated in the studio, was like, you know what, I don't even think we need to get back together. I was like, well, damn, can they get any realer? So.
I agree with you totally, no. And masturbation is good, even if there's not a man. You know, women nowadays, because we're 2015, women are like self-supporting, self-sufficient. If they don't have a hand, they got a man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or toys. Yeah.
That's our next show. What is it? If you don't have a hand, you have a man.
Yeah. If you got a hand, if you have a hand, you don't need a man.
But then, I mean, if
you don't got a man, you got a hand. Let me say it right.
I know.
That's
but
it.
In a way, I think that's good,
and
because
toys.
It does, you know, when that feeling comes upon you, you could think that the worst guy is the best person until you could get that feeling satisfied. But, I don't know. Yeah, that's touchy. That's a little touchy. But
well, I feel like masturbation is probably better. If you don't have a man or whatever you want to call him, a friend with benefits in your life, then like she said, you know, be abstinent or just, you know, masturbate. Now, that may sound funny, the poor lady that was head of our, not the attorney general, but the lady that was head of the medical for the states, I can't think of her name now, the black lady, but she was terminated from her position because she talked about masturbation in school. Well, if that kept them kids from having babies, yes. You know, that was one form now, just one form of, what do you call it? Not daycare, what do you call it? Child prevention.
Yeah. Sexual education?
Yes.
I
agree with you because kids don't know. And plus, for a woman, why wouldn't a woman or a man masturbate? How am I going to tell you what makes me feel good if I don't know what excites my body?
I know someone who has 8 children, and she told me she's 30, and she said that, her last child's father is like 50. 40-something or 50. And she said that he, like, really, he was, like, her best sexual experience. Now, that shows you somebody, obviously, you know, some things went wrong, but that shows you what she was taught. And she must have just been having sex or being in a, you know, just happy to be involved in it. And first of all, why you having 8 children, that's a whole nother story, but... to be, you know, to wait and then only one man satisfied you, it's like, well, what, you just was having sex just to be having sex.
Yeah.
And then not even looking at the consequences. So I know from my experience, though, I haven't had many men, but I know that one person, orgasms are so serious. Like, I know with my mate, I experienced like 12 orgasms in one session. Now, that is ridiculous. And that's why I was saying that I think that that's where... we try to play God. Because, I mean, once you have experience like that, oh, no, buddy, you're not my friend.
And, you know, another thing, which we'll bring that up next week, is about women that get dick whoop and men that get punani whoop.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk about that next week under Does Size Matter?
Of course size matter. Yes, it does.
Okay, shallow. Anyway, no, she ain't being shallow, y'all.
I am the queen of shallow, all capital letters. Hello? Yes, I am shallow. Hello?
Yeah, but you know, the average woman, if you don't come with it, they are going to talk about you, man.
And if you cute with
don't
a big
penis,
look, if you cute with a big penis, press one.
And if you swinging, two. And if you hitting the water, three.
Please reach us at the essence of success. Because you was in line when God was passing out. Hello?
Call 555. Holla. Holla.
Remember Tasha said on Power the other day, I see the dick don't work like it used to. I said, no, she didn't.
No,
sex is something that's very serious. So I really enjoy this abstinence because, yes, I mean, some stuff you need God himself to come pull you out the bed from this person. Like, God, you got to come help me because if you don't help me, I'm going to keep screwing this person. My God. I told you it was one guy at our church that was he must have had a high sexual nature. He was a Scorpio, and he had heart problems. He was 39, so he had a defibrillator and the heart pacer inside of him. And he had a wife, but he kept messing with a mistress because the mistress was like a stripper. So when he passed away, the wife and the mistress was fighting by the casket in the church. Girl, we laughed so hard. And the man passed away having sex with the mistress. He knew that it was going to kill. He knew that the orgasms were going to kill him, and he kept doing it. That's ridiculous.
I told the guy I messed with him. He had a heart problem. I told him, if you die at my house, I will roll your ass out this front door in your car and call the police and say there's a man sleeping in the car. You will not die at my house and finally find your ass here.
Well, next week we need to talk about sex addicts.
Oh, you know what? And that's true.
Yeah, you have all type of addictions, and there are some people. That's what I was saying. Some people have sex with the person, and then they don't want to be bothered with them anymore. Yeah. Some people are addicted to orgasms.
Yep, yep, that's true.
Oh, wow.
That's true. It is to the feeling because it raises the endorphin so high, it's like a high. It's like being drunk or smoking good weed or, I guess, being on heroin. Because it's true. They said the pinnacle of an orgasm releases just as much as if a person were to take a shot of heroin. Well, think about it. If it's a really good orgasm, don't you pass out? Otherwise, you get up, let me clean the bathroom, start some dinner. Okay. Okay, next time maybe I'll fall out. But anyway, that's another sign, man. When a woman jumps up after y'all done made love, you ain't did your job.
You didn't do your job.
Not at all. A happy person.
The penis should be a sedative.
That's
and if,
right.
If your penis is a sedative, press one. We looking for all dick and histamines, press one. Yes.
This girl is so crazy. Oh, Lord, I was going to do another prayer, but I don't think I am now. I'm too
you what?
Scared. I said I was going to do another prayer, but I don't think so now.
Oh, my God, I feel so bad.
No, but anyway, on the real side, though, get back to the show. And I want to announce one more time. You're listening to L&T Sex Chronicles 101, Part 4, Prayer and Sex, on the Essence of Success Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com. And that phone number is area code 646-727-2914. The chat room is open. Your moderator is Miss Nina. So your host today is Tina and Linus, and we've really covered a big area. Before, we've got a few minutes left on the air, so I just want to say this. Be sure and join the show next Wednesday. You will not want to miss next Wednesday because the show will be part 5, Does Size Matter? At the end of the month, we'll do a summary of the whole month on L&T Sex Chronicles. So that'll be the last show of the month, the last Wednesday of the month. But next week, be sure and join us for Does Size Matter? Because we're going to hit a lot of areas and a lot of laughter.
Well, what I wanted to say briefly to get back to the seriousness, prayer is essential. prayer is essential because prayer is you talking to God. You talked about sin. Sin just means to miss the mark. What I believe is that sin is missing the mark of what you've set for yourself, the God within you. Because God, if you look at life, God, you know, allows all of us, he told us not to judge. So therefore, you know, we, it's just about, you know, when you get to a certain level, you just have a point of accountability. Now, what I wanted to say about prayer is that when you do date, in all seriousness, to have success, you should pray with your mate. You should have a prayer life on your own. They should have a prayer life on their own. Then when you get together, you guys should pray because once, you know, relationships, life is filled with trials and tribulations. But if you have that armor to put on, you'll be able to handle the test of time. Now, relationships and sex are very important because it can distract you. Once you start having sex and attributing that peaceful feeling, the endorphins and the dopamines and the oxytocin, and which we spoke about earlier, you attribute those beautiful feelings to that person. Now, other people have achieved these feelings of dopamine and the endorphins through fishing and, you know, activities or hobbies. And like she said, some people even through drugs. But we're talking about on a more positive note. It is imperative, again, to get quiet and have a relationship with God because when you get together and you can pray, that will make your relationship much better. Then in knowing each other, it's about intimacy, and we talked about that last week, about intimacy means into me, I see. When you really get when you really are intimate with someone, and we discussed this earlier about the woman not having, it's obvious. We have not been in her bedroom. I don't even know her. But it's obvious that no one took the time out to care about her. No one took the time out to figure out who she was. And then they were too afraid. You, again, it brings up the intimacy that they didn't even have that discussion. For her to have to say that right now, she may be successful in other areas of her life, but for her to have to say that, and, you know, thank God for her brutal honesty to whomever she was talking to, but that says a lot that somebody would get to you, you know, get intimacy is, And sex is like a person hugging you, loving you, laying on that man's chest. If you can't spend time with that person, there's something wrong with that. Then you have to be careful because sex is serious. That's exchanging information. It's exchanging fluids. If that person has a disease, you know, people don't discuss, have you taken an HIV test? Then even to go a step further, when you have sex with that person, you're having sex with everybody else that they had sex with also.
Well.
So prayer at least will protect you. And what I want to say, and this is a gift that I will give to the listeners, is every time you pray in every area of your life, every day, you should ask God to protect you from the choices that you make. Because a successful life doesn't just come by chance. It comes by choices. So you should make successful choices every day, and that would protect you. So therefore, when you come to this earth, you can have positive sexual experiences that will lead to marriage or, you know, some even if you want to wait to marriage. But this way, you pray and say, let me have a mate that knows you, God, that will love me and love the God within me, that will appreciate me so that you guys can enjoy each other because love is a beautiful thing, and sex should be an expression of love.
Yes, it should. And it shouldn't be the first thing that happens either. So when you understand, be friends with the person that you're interested in. And if you're married, then I hope that this show will help reflect some things in your marriage and renew your relationship. Yeah, I hope so. I hope everyone has learned today. We really covered a huge area. We talked about a lot of things, and Tina's brought some excellent information, homegrown, but spiritual.
It's scared a guy.
Yeah, but she brought some really good information, so I hope that you guys took that, because on my end, I'm the older lady, and I'm on the West Coast. Tina's a young woman that's 40 on the East Coast, so like I said, if you have any comments or opinions, you know, please contact us at Facebook at the page The Essence of Success Radio Network. Now, I would like to thank Tina. I want to thank Miss Nina. And before I go, I want to do a quick prayer. And this prayer is a poem. So, I am that I am. Always a start. Thought control is the highest form of prayer. This is not a dare. Think of only good things and righteousness. This is not a tenuous or strenuous. Don't emphasize the negativity, but capture the creativity. At times when items in your life look bleak, especially in those moments, see only perfection and protection. Thank you, Tina. Express only gratefulness for what may come next. Imagine what manifestation of perfect you choose next. In this axiom is found tranquility. In this process is found peace. In this knowing is found joy. Thank you, God. Our prayers are answered before the prayer is even offered. I am that I am. Tina, did you or Miss Nina have anything?
Oh, I'm just basking in that prayer. That was beautiful.
Yes, you're most welcome. That also was a poem from the book Are You Ready? By Linus. That was the first book I put out, but it's all poetry. Anyway, getting back to L&T Chronicles 101, Part 4, Prayer and Sex. We had a good show today, and I sure want to thank you, Miss Tina, for bringing that information as well as experiences, and me too. You know, because it helps people to understand they might be caught up and or stuck, let's say, about prayer and sex. And it does start with God.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yes, ma'am. So with that, I am going to say good night. But first, I want to give Miss Nina a chance and let her give her little comment about the show. Miss Nina?
That's our comment. Let me tell you something. We have been at the zoo looking at animals and smelling camels and everything else all day, okay?
Miss Nina, did you have anything? I guess she enjoyed the show. Okay, and Tina, did you have anything, last word to say to the people before we leave?
Yes, thank you for joining us. We just send you love and light. We use humor just to open you up so that you can receive the wisdom of God. We pray that you have the best experience in this life. Make sure your inner conversations are of love and peace and in love to everyone. Forgive whom you need to forgive, because your inner conversations are a whisper to that person and they hear it. So just take personal responsibility. Fill yourself with love and gratitude every morning. And we pray that you guys just have the best day and best life ever. Thank you for joining. And if no one told you that they love you today, we do.
We do. Yay.
Yay.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next Wednesday. Remember, the size matter.
Absolutely, press one.
Love her.
Yes, the BBBs.